It's time to laugh, learn, and take your photography to the next level with your favorite cowgirls with cameras, Kara, Kim, and Phyllis.
Welcome to the Cowgirls with Cameras podcast. I'm Kim Beer with Kim Beer Photography and Be More Business.
I'm Kara with Fast Horse Photography.
And I'm Phyllis with Phyllis Burchette Photo. Good afternoon, y'all.
Y'all. She got the Southern thing going on today.
Well, I am Southern.
We're feeling our Georgia today, I can tell.
Shall we all talk in an accent today so we can sound like Phyllis?
Now, don't insult people from the South, you Midwesterners.
I'll say, you don't even sound like you're from the South. You sound like a Midwesterner trying to be Southern.
Actually, I'm from a state that really identifies that way. So that's Missouri. It's a Midwestern state trying to identify as a Southern state. So it probably really fits metaphorically. So, yeah. Well, what have you guys been up to? I know what I've been up to.
Well, our amazing Cottonwood Ranch event just a couple of days ago, or a couple of days ago for me, I lived in an airport for half a day. But a few days for you guys, but we just got back from that. And so I've just been playing catch up. I still have images that are backing up as we speak. I'm watching it slowly go by on my screen.
Me too.
Yeah.
I haven't even uploaded or downloaded mine. So they're still on my cards.
Oh, okay.
So
you're both
ahead of me.
Ahead of the game.
I've been a little busy since I've been back.
Yeah, so. Same.
It's okay. My dry head images are uploading along with the Cottonwoods into Backblaze right now. So I was a month behind, if that counts at all.
Yeah, but you already had 100 and something of those edited before you even got home.
Yeah, you're ahead of the game.
Yeah. That doesn't count.
Don't come at us with that.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that. No.
Oh, goodness. Well, we had a great time at Cottonwood, and we cannot say enough nice things about the family there and how well our models treat us and how, oh my God, the food. I laughed because I texted Kara. I think I texted both of you that like, oh my God, fixing my own breakfast is such a pain in the butt.
Just cooking any meals when we've been catered to for a week straight and then having to come home and cook something. Ed's out of town, so Easton and I are doing pizza tonight. That's the big game plan because I don't want to cook. I'm out of practice.
Yeah, a week. It's funny how you get out of practice cooking in a week.
You guys are sad. Just sad.
What have you been? Have you been cooking?
No.
Okay. Join the sad party.
Uber Eats. What?
I did go to the grocery store yesterday, so I have plans to cook. However,
me too, Phyllis. Me too. I did the whole grocery thing. Yeah. When I got home, Nick had cleaned out the refrigerator, and it was barren. Like I opened the refrigerator, was just blank shelves. It's like, oh my God! It looks like we have a new refrigerator. It's been catch up for me here as well. I do have startlingly good news on the bird front. My chickens laid their very first eggs.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Congrats. That's exciting.
So that hopefully your grocery bill will go down just a tiny bit.
Well, at this point, it's only been two eggs and they're both very, very small.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it's going to be another couple of weeks before that happens.
Not to mention the investment in the brand new chicken coop and all the feed and the new lumber to house all of your roosters. And so those eggs are probably running about $75 a piece at this point.
Oh, good. Yeah, a piece is right. No, and at this point, I think they're more like like $5,000 a piece.
Yeah.
Oh, so you'll recoup that in no time.
I'll recoup that
it.
In my coop.
Recoup.
I love that.
Get it? Recoup.
Yes. Yeah. Well, And I don't know about you two, but I came home to hot, miserable humidity that smacked me across the face with sweat the minute I stepped off that airplane. And I was thinking of Phyllis, and I have to interject the sweater weather in here, the sweater weather. We got to experience sweater weather while we were at Cottonwood. And now coming home, it is definitely take your sweater off weather.
Yeah.
It wasn't near as chilly at Cottonwood.
This was our warmest year.
Yeah. But I do want to give a big shout out to the ranch as well. And also those that drove all the way to the ranch from Wyoming to be with us, Piper and Jared, and then also our new, the Sagebrush gals that we had, Sage and Sophie and Sailor. That was pretty exciting to have some new people there. So yeah,
new faces.
Don't forget Jenny, who drove over too.
Oh, and Jenny. Yeah, I'm sorry, Jenny. Sorry about that. Yeah.
No, we're always super blessed with amazing people that are willing to get up at the crack of dawn and get to the top of the mountain before sunrise and be up at all hours just to get there and get it done. And they just always look so good. And their horses are so just perfect for what we want to do and their handling of the herd. And we just are really lucky. We really are.
And Mackenzie, as always, is finding new and great places for us to go. And
Wildcat Peak.
Gosh, she's going to be taking over our job before long because she could just go be somebody's scout for photography locations.
Pretty much. She knows what we're looking for.
Yep. And Joe, oh my gosh, Joe, our chef, our cook or chef, our, oh gosh, that was amazing.
He's a chef.
Yes.
He definitely is a chef. Mm-hmm.
And what a great group of ladies we had too. Yep.
Definitely. And so eager to learn. I think everybody got expanded knowledge and some of them were very accomplished photographers, very accomplished photographers. So I was very happy to see that everybody's enthusiasm for learning and sharing and imparting information. So it was a great, great group to have and to work around and to be challenged into getting questions answered. And they were very into editing and very excited about what they're going to produce. And I can't wait until the virtual viewing party so we get to see all of those images that got taken. So I'm as excited for this one as I think probably the models are. And we do have to thank Kyle. We forgot to thank Kyle. How could we forget Kyle?
But can't forget Kyle.
You cannot forget Kyle. Kyle is unforgettable. So anyway, I was a great event and super happy. And we got to give away some things while we were there. This was, we had a little few giveaways at Dryhead, but this one we gave away a lot of stuff. And it was so much fun spinning the wheel and giving it away. But we had a grand prize that got given away. Yeah. And Kara, do you want to talk a little bit about that? And also our sponsor for this show.
That's right. Leslie was the winner of the big grand prize, which is the 16x20 canvas. It's a golden ticket from Guild Canvas, who is one of our big sponsors for this event. And she's going to be able to pick one of her images. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. It's one from our Cottonwood Ranch event. But she can pick any of her favorite images and she can choose one to put on a 16x20 canvas. And I just can't wait to see what she picks. So big thanks to Guild Canvas for their support of Cowgirls with Cameras. I also want to spank. I almost said spank. That feels inappropriate.
that is really inappropriate.
I also want to thank 17 Hats, who is another one of our sponsors for this event. They helped make our swag bags, which we give out at this event, just a little bit sweeter. For those of you who don't know about 17 Hats, they're the CRM and business management program that I use to keep Fast Horse Photography running smoothly. I've been using them for probably almost as long as I've been in business. And I couldn't be more grateful for the help that they've given me over the years. 17 Hats is a full service platform designed for solo business owners. And it's just honestly packed with a ton of great tools that make small business owners like me and you run our businesses so much easier. So if you're looking for a CRM or you're looking for a business management program, go check them out. That's 17hats.com.
Awesome. And speaking of wearing those 17 hats, one of the hats that you have to wear is marketing your business, which is the topic for, we're going to be talking about marketing all in the month of September, but we are going to be specifically talking today about some trends in digital marketing. Are you guys ready to launch into our topic?
Absolutely. Before we get started, since we're on the topic of digital marketing, I want to tell everyone to go, if you have a TikTok, go to TikTok. Cowgirls with Cameras has officially launched our TikTok account. And I have been rapidly adding videos over there so that folks can see the behind the scenes of what we do when we're on location. So go follow if you've got a TikTok or you want to be a TikToker. Go check out Cowgirls with Cameras. We would love to be your friend over there and have you be our friend and follower and show you a little bit of the behind the scenes.
Yes, it was quite the ordeal today to get all of the codes to work for that.
Yes.
And I don't know. I think it was like we were 15 codes in before we were fast enough to get the TikTok account set up. But so that's the challenges of digital marketing. In this particular episode, digital marketing is a changing landscape. And I think it's very top of mind for a lot of small business owners on how am I going to utilize digital marketing, and like what with AI has kind of thrown a whole nother topic up for us to have to look at and work with. And it's just, there's a lot going on. And so today we kind of divided this topic up into trends, into three trends that we see happening pretty frequently. I'm going to talk about the trend of nurturing your prospects and your customers versus bombarding them on social and email and through digital marketing. Kara is going to talk about the trend towards authenticity versus perfection. And then Phyllis is going to talk to us a little bit about the trend in creating series content versus standalone content. That's where we're going to head today. And I will go ahead and kick us off with the nurture versus bombard, because I'm thinking that what I'm going to say is like, I have a cat hair that is like bothering me. Sorry for those of you watching the video. There's the cat was in here apparently. Sorry about that. I had to get rid of it. It was going to annoy me to no end. For those of you who are not watching this on YouTube, go watch it on YouTube and you can watch me elegantly try to get rid of a cat hair in my face. Anyway, nurture versus bombard. That's the authenticity versus perfection, right?
You can talk about that later, Kara.
Okay. So the primary reason that people do not engage with your content, whether it's an email, social media, anywhere for that matter, even in person, the primary reason they don't engage with you is that they don't feel that your content is relevant to them. And often what is the most irrelevant to people is being bombarded with buy this, see this, do this, visit here, go here. Like all of the directive content that people tend to send out. And if you think about what shows up in your inbox and what you're the most likely to delete, it's content that doesn't look at you right in the moment. And one of the things that I love to teach people is to consider how their customers are moving through their marketing cycle. How does it happen that somebody goes from being completely unaware that you exist to becoming a loyal customer? So that process in and of itself doesn't happen through the bombardment. It happens through nurturing and relationship building. And the better you are at setting up the nurtures to happen at specific points in that process, the better you'll be at creating those loyal customers that continue to come back time and time again. I'm going to go put my teaching hat on for a moment, and we're going to learn a little bit about the steps that consumers and customers take in your business and how each of those coincides with digital marketing. And then on top of that, how you can utilize nurture versus bombard in that process. So first of all, I do want to say that the first five things I'm going to talk about here, I didn't invent this. It was actually invented by a totally separate person whose name is escaping me right at the moment. Good grief. Why can I not remember his name?
It'll come to you.
It'll come to me. It'll come to me. But it happened back in 1966. And it sounds crazy that it works for digital marketing, but it does. So these five cycles are how your consumer moves from not knowing who you are, not even being aware that they need your services, into really knowing who you are and determining if you're the right fit for their business. So they start at unaware. And a lot of people in marketing, especially small business owners who are new to this, spend a great deal of time trying to chase these people down. And to be honest with you, it's a lot of waste of your time. You cannot reach people who are not aware that they want what it is that you're selling. In photography, it's people who don't have any appreciation for photos, or it's people who are, not even aware that equine photography exists. then people come along to be being the next step is problem aware. So this may be the person in photography that goes to their friend's house and they see a beautiful picture that Fast Horse Photography took. You know, horse buddies tend to hang out together. And on the entrance into the home, there's a beautiful photo of the person with the horse. And now all of a sudden, the visitor to the house is like, you know what? I have a problem. I don't have a picture of me with my horse greeting people as they walk through the door. I don't have that personalized work of art. So generally, people become problem aware through friends and blogs and maybe internet and sometimes social media in that kind of mindless scrolling that we do where we're like trying to keep up with the Joneses and we're like, wow, that'd be kind of cool to have. These people are a lot harder to reach than you think. Then there are people that become solution aware. And in this phase of interaction, they're like, wow, equine photographers exist. And I can hire one. And chances are there's one probably in my area that can take pictures of me with my horse. And in this particular phase of the cycle, we tend to Google. People tend to Google. They use Google or they use AI to say, how can I find these special unicorns called equine photographers? And how do they work? And what happens with it? And so you'll see a lot of that coming into Google, people typing in search terms into Google. Then finally, they find you. They find your business. Your business comes up in Google searches, or a friend recommends you or something along those lines. And now they are aware that you exist. And at this point, this is where your website becomes really, really important. And all of your listings become very important. It's also where your business cards become important. Because the very next step that coincides with that is on the customer journey side, which is connection. So they're going to reach out. They're going to visit your website. They're going to pick up the phone and call you. They're going to go look at your social media channels. They're going to search for you. And they're going to move into the next phase, which coincides with the most aware phase where they start to consider, are you the right option for them? And this is where your social media kicks everything up a notch. A lot of people, I think social media is for new traffic, but it is honestly for building relationships with your warm traffic. So up until that connection point, we consider consumer traffic and that cycle cold. In other words, we've been built a relationship. Once a consumer becomes a customer by reaching out and making connection, they move into being warm traffic. And now we can really build into the nurture sequence. So once they become most aware, now social media starts to kick in. They sign up for that lead magnet on your website, and now you can start to nurture them through the consideration process where you help them understand what makes you unique and different, why they should choose you as their photographer, why they should interact with your business, what your unique brand is, and nurture that relationship just like you would if you had met them in person. Now they're going to be into the stage where they're either going to decide you're for them or you're not for them. And that's the conversion stage. They're going to convert one way or the other. And we can continue to nurture them through that process by sending them emails, direct messages, SMS text messages are all great ways to do that. And then finally, once they've completed the sales process, their images are delivered, then we want to continue to build on that loyalty over time by staying in touch and nurturing them. So in the consideration of nurture versus bombard with just kind of mindless ads, nurturing is a very mindful way of marketing to people. It's taking into consideration where they are in this process. If they are brand new to this process, in other words, just becoming aware of who you are, you have a different conversation with those people than somebody who is a returning customer and has already been through your sales cycle and service cycle at least one time. Ideally, what you're going to do is you're going to meet your customers where they are in the moment by understanding where they show up in this cycle. you're going to write blogs that help them find you and help them understand how equine photography works. Then you're going to build a really solid website that helps them understand who you are and how you're different from your competitors, what unique things you bring, and how they can connect to you. And then once they connect with you, you're going to give them gentle encouragement, and you're going to help build that relationship through email marketing, direct messages, and SMS text marketing until they convert. And once they convert, you're going to not forget they exist. You're going to continue to build on that relationship by utilizing newsletters, regular communications, checking in on them, anniversary or birthday type situations, checking in. An anniversary, by the way, is like the next year when you did their photos. So, hey, a year has passed. Maybe it's time to document that again. Does that all make sense in how you nurture people from one step to the other?
Absolutely.
I think it's really easy too to kind of like get started on that and then drop the ball somewhere in the cycle because your processes and your systems aren't set up. So that would be my only comment on that. It's very easy to do that.
That's why it would be helpful to have 17 hats to keep you up with that.
I think the hardest thing for people is thinking about understanding that cycle. I don't know how many times in a month I teach that to entrepreneurs. And a lot of people, it's the first time they've heard it. Like, this is the first time they've thought about how their customers move through their business. And once you can kind of understand how your customers move through your business, you can figure out ways to nurture them versus just continually hit them with sales ads. So if you start to just mind shift set your over into that thought process so that you are communicating with them in a nurturing way. If you're adding to their lives, if you're answering questions, if you are being a helpful business owner to the people that you serve, this is not hard to do. And yes, the tech can get a little uncomfortable at times, but to be honest, once you have it set up, it's a pretty seamless situation to go from point A to point B.
And there's lots of people out there that can help you with that too.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about some shifts in social media trends that fit in with that. One of the things that Kim started mentioning a little bit was the trend or the transition from authenticity from perfection. So I don't know if you guys remember, but I'm thinking back to, like, especially during COVID, when you look at people's social media feeds and everything is super curated and everybody's cover photos are all the same tones and textures and it's just perfect, beautiful feeds. So the days of the highly curated, perfect feeds with all the matchy-matchy filters applied have really started to feel stale. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of happy about it because I think as an artist, I think that it really boxes in your ability to be creative when you're so worried about the aesthetic of your social media feeds. I want folks to think about that. Like, what are you seeing? Think about the big people that you follow online and the content creators that you just love so much. What do their feeds look like? And you'll see a big shift. You don't see a lot of that anymore. People today are more and more drawn to real life moments. They want to see you as the business owner or your team. They want to see the day to day. They want to see those real life moments because they want to get pulled in and see what your life is like. They want to see your day to day. They want to see the muddy boots after the muddy photo shoot if you're a photographer. They want to see horses making silly faces for their sessions or you being real about something that maybe didn't go as planned, but it turned out okay anyway. I think that platforms like TikTok and Instagram Reels are even more so starting to reward authenticity. Things like casual videos are starting to perform better than super overproduced content. They just feel more like native content. So, like, think about what a friend would post versus what a business would post. And you're looking for something that feels more native. Like, people want to see what's really happening behind the scenes and not just ads. I don't know about you, when I'm flipping through my feed every couple of posts is an ad for something. And I immediately am either trying to turn it off or I'm trying to move past it as quickly as possible. So the last thing I want is when I have content creators that I follow, the last thing I want is for their content to look like an ad as well. I think the algorithm is also prioritizing watch time, shares, and comments over the production value. The big struggle is how does a photographer who wants to showcase their beautiful work, their creativity, how do they draw people in but also be authentic? And I know me personally, that's something I really struggle with because I want my feed to be perfect, beautiful images, gorgeous video that I've created. So I've started to think about it like this. I like to separate portfolio from personality. So I think of my website, my client galleries, blog posts, and even my main grid as a portfolio. And then I think about stories and reels and TikToks and carousels, places where I can be a little more casual. I like to share behind the scenes. Sometimes I'll do quick tips. I think bloopers. I just want to let clients, you know, really get to know who I am. And I think that there's room out there for other creatives to do the same thing, just trying to insert yourself a little more into that. I think about things like if I want my grid to still look good, how I can use my finished edited work as an anchor. So maybe instead of making a super slick, fully edited reel, I might record a more casual video, maybe something of me introducing a session, and then I can overlay that with an edited final image at the end showing that pretty session, showing something from the pretty session. So an example for that. Here's what it looks like when wrangling a silly horse who thinks the session is snack time. And I'll have some just raw footage of maybe a little girl being kind of pulled around by her horse while he's trying to eat the snack. That's going to be that kind of raw native footage. But then I'll put the final image on there somewhere so they can see as my client, as if they're my client, you might struggle a little bit during the session, but that doesn't mean we're not going to get beautiful images. I definitely think that photographers should feel a little more free and more casual in participating in trends. And I have started doing some of this in my world, and it's been really scary to step out from behind the camera and put my face into the camera. I've had to get over a few things like the graying hairs and the wrinkles and how I can't stand my voice on camera. And just put my face on there because I want my clients to see that I'm just a regular horse person like them. I'm a regular horse owner. I'm just a regular person. And that when they meet me, the person that they see online is pretty much what they're going to get when they meet me in person. In terms of trends, though, I think that it's really fun to hop onto the trends. So a lot of trends, you know, they thrive in a quick, casual format. So if you overproduce them, they're going to lose that playful vibe that makes them spread so quickly. So if you're out there and you're seeing all the cute trends about the funny songs, like Do You Have Any Kids song that we have since decided is the song of the summer, or the Hamilton song that you've got people doing all the cute videos to, like figure out how you can make that work for your business and can bring some fun to your account. I have big plans. I keep saying I'm going to do it. I want to talk a little bit now about why I think authenticity helps build trust with your clients. When you allow your clients to see the real you, they start to feel like that they know you before they even reach out to you. That familiarity makes you less intimidating, and the trust can grow when people see that you're just a regular human being, someone who cleans their horse's stalls one pitchfork full at a time, just like they do, while also fighting off the bugs, just like they do. On a photography note, being authentic can help set realistic expectations. A great example is when you show behind the scenes video of a horse and human posing together and you as the photographer giving them directions. It can really help a potential client understand what a session might really look like when they work with you and that you're there to give direction and provide support the whole way. Okay, with that being said, I'm strongly encouraging you to find ways to be more authentic and be in the front of the camera. Authenticity doesn't mean getting sloppy. So your website, your client galleries, your client correspondence, your marketing materials, those should reflect a polished professional standard. So think of your website as your storefront, but your social media platforms, on the other hand, are more like conversations in the barn aisle. So try to think about those two things in that way, and then create your content that goes in those places accordingly. those conversations that you're having in the barn aisle, they can be light and fun and definitely less curated. The goal is to be professional, but also super relatable. So too much perfection can be intimidating. Too much raw, unpolished content can feel super unprofessional. So trying to walk that line and find that balance is huge. What do you guys think about that?
I think the challenge for photographers here is real, because we do need to present that professional image. And I like the way you've divided it up into being your feed, your grid, your website. Like, you've got designated areas that show that professionalism and yet some behind the scenes personality. Because I do think that people hire artists based upon the relationships they have with the people as well as the art. So I think it's a key and aspect that they understand who you are, and that's showing up authentically who you are.
I think for me, it's hard to, I don't know, it's hard to follow the trending stuff, but still be me. That's a thing I really haven't accomplished. So I'm just going to be, well, whatever I am.
I don't see you maybe participating in the, you know, like the lip sync trends necessarily, but you definitely participate in the content trends. I mean, you post reels, that are in tune with what is popular at the time. So you're participating in it. You're just not ready to put your face in front of the camera.
This face.
And I think there's room for both.
Yeah.
You're not always sharing video content that's been professionally edited and created. I mean, you share cell phone content that you've pulled that's behind the scene content from our shoots.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I can tell you, she fights for that content. Like, the trucks at Cottonwood constantly, are they coming up behind the truck? The window won't roll down.
The struggle is real,
but I'm probably not going to use that out of the window content because my camera won't stay still. It's jumping up and down too much.
You know, they have tools for that, right?
Yeah, I know they do.
It was funny though, being in the car with her, in the truck with her, when she couldn't get her window down and the horses went flying by the side of the truck with the dogs. That was authentic content missed.
Mm, oh, well. I learned to get over it, though, didn't I?
Yeah,
you don't have any other option.
Another photographer and told them to film it out their window.
It's never the same as when I do it, though.
It isn't, is it?
No,
it isn't.
No.
I know. I'm just not as good.
No, I don't mean that. It's just not my content then. It's, you know, somebody else's content. They're shooting on my camera, on my phone.
It's a cell phone out a window, Phyllis.
Well, you know, you can give Kim videography credit if you need to, if it makes you feel better.
It really wasn't good enough to give me videography credit. Please don't.
Shaky video footage captured out truck window as we hobbled down away, provided by Kimberly Beer Photography on Phyllis Burchett's photos cell phone.
I'm going to pass this one off to Kim.
please don't credit me with that. No, it's okay. It's okay. I can remain nameless in this instance.
Okay. Well, I guess it's my turn. You guys get all the fun stuff to talk about. Well, actually, I guess this is kind of fun. I like what I'm going to talk about. Basically, in reference to social media, like, I don't know that this is a trend, really, because the series or the carousels have been around for a long time. It just seems like they've come more to the forefront now, because I think that the algorithm is pushing a series versus a standalone sometimes more, or at least you have more of a chance of being seen because you do have a series, because it may push the second or third or fourth image out to somebody that's already seen the first one. And so they're getting to see that again in their feed. But it is a trend in digital marketing, I guess you could say, for photographers, the difference between creating content in a series versus posting what we call standalone pieces, just one piece that we call as a statement piece. I think why series or carousels work so well is because the algorithms really love consistency and repeat engagement. When you create a series, you're giving the audience a reason to keep coming back. It's, and that algorithm is pushing that for people to keep coming back. kind of think of it like your favorite Netflix show. You just can't wait for the next episode. And so for photographers, this might look like breaking down a big topic. Also, like you could say like 5 tips for prepping your horse for their portrait session into 5 separate posts instead of just dumping everything into one long caption, which I think is really cool. People are more apt to read bite-sized pieces than they are one long caption. Or at least I know I am. The second benefit is authority. A series lets you go deeper. You're not just the person behind the camera. You're the expert guiding your clients in the community. And this helps to build trust and keeps your name top of mind when somebody's ready to book or buy artwork from you or go to an event with you. Of course, that doesn't mean that standalone posts are dead. I think they play a huge role. A single powerful image or a viral reel, or even just a really good reel, it doesn't have to go super viral, can introduce you to a whole new audience. Standalone content often works like a first impression. It's quick, it's eye-catching, and it can spread really fast. I think for me, the key is to have a strategic mix in those, like between standalone and series. Think of your marketing in terms of campaigns. Series nurture the people who already follow you, while standalones cast a wider net to bring new people in. Both are really valuable, and together they build momentum for your social media. Let's just say, like, for example, let's just say you just finished a photo shoot and you could create a series that walks people through the behind the scenes clips, editing before and afters, client reactions, and then, of course, the final edited piece. At the same time, you pull out one standout shot from that same session, use it as to grab attention on its own. And therefore, you've got one shoot that's fueling both your standalone and your series or your carousels. And this is even a good for me to think about as you plan your content, because sometimes I don't really plan my content very well. Don't feel stuck between choosing one or the other. Use both of them strategically. Experiment and check your analytics, which I'm not very good at doing, and see which is really resonating, and go with that in your flow for your followers.
I would add, I don't think you mentioned anything about trial reels, but I would also add trial reels to that. Not everyone, I think, has that feature, but if you do have the trials reel feature, it can be really fun to do a reel with a couple different captions and send them out to trial reels, because they push those out to a non-audience. So it doesn't go to the people that you follow first. It goes out to an unknown audience. And then you can watch and see what's doing really well and decide which one you want to actually post to your grid. Because it won't...
I don't even know what that is. I've never heard of it.
Huh. Weird. I've done it a couple times and played around with different ideas.
What is it under?
It's in your... I don't have my Instagram pulled up right now. But if you're going to make a reel, it gives you the option, instead of pushing it out to your feed, you can do a trial reel instead. And you can make more than one of those. They don't land on your feed, so nobody can see it that's a follower. It goes out to I'm not using the right word, but it goes out to unknown followers, but people who might like
to your cold traffic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then they can get to know you. So I've seen people do like reels that even say like, this is a trial reel. If you found me, let me know. You can test it out. And then if you have the same video, but maybe different content with it, you can decide which one's performing well. And then that can be the one you publish to your existing community. So it's kind of a nice way to pre-test your content.
Okay. I do see it. I had
not
heard of it.
Give it a try.
I'll have to give it a try.
Yeah, like used to.
Something new for everybody.
Something new. If you don't have this feature yet, hopefully you'll get it soon. I think it's kind of cool. And I use it every now and then when I'm kind of going back and forth between 2 versions of content and I'm not sure what's going to resonate well.
Hmm.
Awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Learn something every day.
New every day.
There you go.
Here we go. Phyllis and I both at the same time. You owe me a Coke. Oh, awesome.
All right. Have we wrapped this episode up pretty well?
I think so.
All right.
We've given people a lot to think about.
I just want to encourage folks. We're about to have our new 2026 Cottonwood Ranch dates coming out soon. So keep your eyes peeled for those dates so you can get on the list if you want to join us. Please check us out online. We're at cowgirlswithcameras.com. We also have our private equine photography community, which we're having a ton of fun over there. It's cowgirlswithcameras.community. And then you can find us online at Instagram and Facebook, and our brand new TikTok account, which has a total of 69 followers as of right of this moment. So if you want to make us 70, hop on there and give us a follow. We'd love to hang out with you on TikTok too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Cowgirls with Cameras. Don't let the laughter and learning stop here. Join our community on social media and be sure to visit our website for more opportunities to fulfill your photography goals. Head to cowgirlswithcameras.com. That's cowgirlswithcameras.com. See you next time.